It's Ella and Mia here, and we are so excited to be your hosts for Great Stories, a podcast by Mills & Lewis SA. Hearing stories from the wonderful Mills & Lewis SA team and seeing the benefits this service provides in the community led us to create a space where people can gain insight into the values and histories behind our organisation.
This is what this podcast is all about, sharing knowledge and inspirational stories by learning about the values of Mills & Lewis with all of you. Each month we post two new episodes, one full length and one shorter episode, which we call Bite Size. These are released on the 1st and 15th of every month. Let's get into it.
Hey everybody, welcome back to our latest episode. Just some housekeeping stuff for you all. We are holding an Aging Well event at Victor Harbour Town Hall on the 30th of April from 12 till 3pm, where we'll have a cooking demonstration, giveaways and an afternoon tea, so we hope to see some of you there. We hope that you've been enjoying this new format so far and have gotten something out of our episodes. We really appreciate all of our listeners and want to be as collaborative as possible with this podcast. So if you have any feedback at all about the content or format of the episodes, or if you have any suggestions on episode topics, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us at ella@millsonwheelssa.org.au, and the contact information is also in the description of each episode. So let's get going.
So this fortnight, we thought that we should unpack the history of food delivery across the world. As you probably know or can guess, food delivery is the basis of what Meals on Wheels is, and although our services have expanded over the past couple years with My Wise Choice and with intergenerational playgroups and things like that, food delivery will always be the most important service and the largest service that we provide to the South Australian community. Meals on Wheels, as an international organisation, has also played a significant role in food delivery becoming as prolific as it is now. And so we really feel that this episode is a necessary one to cover, and we hope you get something out of it. So throughout this episode, we will discuss the first meal delivery provided to the King and Queen of Italy in 1889, followed by the first official meal delivery service that started in India in 1890, Chinese meal delivery in America during the 1920s, World War II delivery services, the first Meals on Wheels service in London in 1954, and finally Pizza Hut's PizzaNet, which was the world's first online meal delivery service in 1995.
As you may have guessed, when we said the words Italy and food, this meal delivery involved a pizza. While the concept of pizza delivery seems like a pretty regular occurrence now, this first delivery was a product of politics, the unification of Italy, and the disparity of available foods between nobility and the poor, something that we became very familiar with since last month's full-length episode on Food Eden throughout the centuries. It's important to note that Italy had unified into one kingdom only a few decades before this event, and this unification helped to spread foods originally confined to small towns across the nation, resulting in our current conception of traditional Italian foods such as cannoli, pasta, pizza, and lasagna, to name a few. However, for some reason that we don't really know, pizza had not extended far beyond Naples at the time that the Italian king and queen visited the city in 1889.
In 1878, Queen Margherita became the first queen of a united Italy and married her first cousin, Umberto. As the royal first couple of the new unified Italy, their main role was to prevent revolution from taking over the fragile new nation. One aspect of this role often involved travelling across Italy to gain the support of citizens and to boost morale, and this is what they were hoping to do when they reached Naples in 1889. According to the story, Queen Margherita had become bored of the fancy meals provided to the nobility and so requested a meal that would have been eaten usually by a commoner.
I think that's pretty bold of her to try and put herself in the shoes of a commoner, considering she was the first female in that position of power. And I think she definitely would have experienced some adversity from the population of Italy. So I think it's good that she was able to put herself out there and hopefully gain some more respect from the Italians.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think I ever thought about it like that. I think I just thought, like, there was no way that I could ever get bored of all of that food that they ate, especially for nobility, like we talked about, I think, last month. They ate so much food and so many strange meals, and yeah, I can't imagine getting bored of that and wanting something that's just kind of regular. So, moving on, Naples' most famous pizza chef, a man named Raffaele Esposito, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I feel like that's Spanish.
It sounds Spanish. I know that there's an actress with a last name Esposito that's Spanish.
Yeah, and a Raffaella, because... Ooh. Sorry.
No, that was good. Italian, that's why I asked you.
An R instead of an A.
Okay. Well, he had a Spanish name, but he was Italian. He was from Naples. Anyway, he was called in to create a pizza for the Queen. Probably very nervous to create a new food for the Queen of Italy, Esposito and his wife created three different types of pizzas. Very importantly, and kind of the point of the story, one of the pizzas was modelled after the Italian flag, so it had red tomatoes, white mozzarella, and green basil. If anyone can guess where this story is heading. So once the pizzas had finished cooking, Esposito ran them over to the Queen in the first meal delivery in history, as far as we know. And luckily for him, when the Queen took a bite of the pizza, she declared that it was one of the best foods that she'd ever eaten. And so a few days later, Esposito received a letter from the head of table service of the royal's household, which read, quote, "Most esteemed Raffaele Esposito, I confirm to you that the three kinds of pizza you prepared for Her Majesty were found to be delicious." And we thought now, as a nice little throwback to our learning languages episode, we would get Mia, who speaks Italian, to read that little quote out in Italian, because obviously that's what it would have been written in. So take it away.
Il più stimato Raffaele Esposito, io confermo a te che le tre tipi di pizza che hai preparato per sua maestra è stato trovato di essere delicioso.
That's crazy.
That's probably more of a rough translation, as I reckon when she wrote the letter, it would have been written in her dialect from many centuries ago. So the Italian language has changed a lot since then. But in terms of what the Italian language is now, that's probably the most similar. While we have Queen Margherita to thank for the first meal delivery, the first actual ongoing official meal delivery service began only 1 year later in India. During the 1800s, while India was still under British occupation, India experienced mass urbanisation of workers. Many of these workers moved to Mumbai, where they would often work long hours without a break to go out and get themselves lunch. This led to the creation of the Mumbai Dabbawalas, sorry if I mispronounced that, the Mumbai Dabbawalas, which translates in English to the one who carries a box and who are still delivering meals across Mumbai today. According to the official Mumbai Dabbawala website, quote, "About 125 years back, a Parsi banker wanted to have home-cooked food in office and gave this responsibility to the first ever Dabbawala. Many people liked the idea and the demand for Dabba delivery soared. It was all informal and individual effort in the beginning, but visionary Mahadeo Havaji Bajke, sorry if I mispronounced that, saw the opportunity and started the lunch delivery service in its present team delivery format with 100 Dabbawalas." End quote.
As we previously said, the Mumbai Dabbawalas are still in operation today with around 5,000 people delivering meals to over 200,000 customers per day. And I just want to quickly say that this is a really, really interesting organization, company, I think union, I don't know what you'd call it, but they're really interesting, and their success rate, which we'll talk about, and their I guess efficiency is really interesting, and I think this is definitely something that if you're interested, you should look up, because there's a bit of information out there about them, and yeah, they just do really cool work. So their success is due to their unique system of delivery. So a double wala will either walk or bike to the customer's house between 9 or 10 in the morning to collect the home-cooked meals. They will then take the meals, which are stored in stacked tin containers, to a local sorting place, where they are then grouped according to the train line that takes them to the area of the city that they need to go. So each lunchbox has a distinct code consisting of a combination of the alphabet, colours and numbers that identifies the destination and recipient of each box. And they use this code instead of an address or words or things like that, because most of the Dabbawalas are actually illiterate, and so this way they, I guess, memorise what the codes mean and can still do their job without having to be able to read, which is really cool. So the lunchboxes are then carried, usually overhead, by train, bicycle or foot until they get to the area of the city that they need to be in. Once there, the boxes are sorted again based on building address and floor number. Another set of Dabbawalas now take over and transport the lunchboxes to the workplace of the appropriate customers. Then, once lunch is over, more Dabbawalas come to pick up the lunchboxes from the workplace, and the process is reversed, ending back at the customer's home, ready for the next day. So I know that's a little bit confusing to hear. It was really confusing to research and kind of get my head around what was happening. I think I had a bit of a difficult time realizing that the Dabbawalas, like, their delivery service doesn't include cooking the meals. So it's for people who go to work that want home-cooked meals but don't have, I guess, the time or the availability to bring it with them or to get it taken to them. And so I think that's really unique. I don't know of any other thing that you cook your own meal but they deliver it for you. That's really cool. So yeah, if you found that a little bit confusing, look it up. I think they talk about it on their website or somewhere else online.
This efficiency has allowed the Mumbai Dabbawalas to experience a 5-6% increase in customers each year, despite the increase in online-based meal delivery services. The Mumbai Dabbawalas also have an incredible error ratio of 1 in 16 million, meaning only one meal in every 16 million meals that they provide has a mistake. This organisation is definitely one that is looked at as a leader in customer satisfaction and delivery efficiency across the world.
This organisation has actually been looked at as kind of an ideal or something to, look up to in training here at Meals on Wheels SA. We were talking to our boss about how cool the Mumbai Dabbawalas are and how efficient they are and how crazy the 1 in 16 million meals are wrong. And she was saying that they actually learnt about it in their training and kind of talked about how the efficiency could translate over here and how we could kind of incorporate some of the things that they do, because they're so successful and they really are thought of as kind of a pioneer in the field.
I think that's really interesting, and it just shows that Meals on Wheels is always trying to better their customer service and efficiency. And it's really cool that we're even taking delivery methods from across the globe to try and implement here to better ourselves. The next era of food delivery services that comes up as a significant era of progress is the phenomenon of Chinese food delivery in the US during the 1920s. It is important to acknowledge that while this was the first popular delivery food, African American families often sold takeaway meals, as this was one of the only available ways to support themselves and their families during the Jim Crow laws.
Exactly, I think that's a really important thing to just keep in mind. So the earliest known reference to delivery services by Chinese restaurants comes from a Chinese restaurant in Los Angeles in 1922. So during 1922, Kin Chu Cafe proclaimed that it was, quote, the only place on the West Coast making and delivering real Chinese food, end quote, and would deliver hot dishes direct to you. That was kind of, I think, their slogan. This rise in popularity also saw Chinese foods become altered into what is now referred to as American Chinese cuisine. So an example of this alteration of Chinese food is chop suey. Sorry if I'm not pronouncing that right. So it consists of meat such as chicken, pork, or beef, cooked quickly with vegetables, usually bean sprouts, cabbage, and celery. It is usually served with rice, but can also be served with stir-fried noodles. And while it is believed that this meal was created in America, it's not exactly verified. There's a lot of different stories about its origin. One account claims that the dish was invented by Chinese-American cooks working on the Transcontinental Railroad sometime during the 19th century. And another story is that it was created during the premiere of the Qing Dynasty, Li Hongzhang's visit to the U.S. in 1896 by his chef, who tried to create a meal suitable for both Chinese and American palates. And then another story is that the premier wandered to a local Chinese restaurant after the hotel kitchen had closed, where the chef, embarrassed that he had nothing ready to offer him, came up with a new dish using scraps of leftovers. However, while this interest in Americanized Chinese takeaway food was very popular, it was soon overshadowed by the Great Depression in 1929, which we've talked a little bit about previously, which saw a dramatic decrease in the US population's ability to pay for food deliveries. And then it also suffered more setbacks following World War II, when it became less popular due to not being authentic enough.
It was during World War II that Meals on Wheels enters the conversation around food delivery. During the Blitz in London, the Women's Volunteer Service began to provide hot meals to citizens whose homes had been destroyed. According to their website, quote, "Royal Voluntary Service is one of Britain's largest volunteering organisations providing vital, responsive services which support public health, social care and well-being. Our volunteers support the NHS and people in need with the aim of building resilience in local communities." End quote. The first organised meal delivery by the Women's Volunteer Service following the London deliveries was in Hemel Hempstead in 1943. The earliest deliveries adapted old prams to transport the food easily and quickly around the community, using straw bales or even felt hats to keep the meals warm as they were rushed between homes. We aren't going to discuss this subject for too long this episode because we have planned a whole episode on how Meals on Wheels started in London during this time and how it has progressed since, that we are going to release next month.
So the last period of time that we wanted to discuss is something that most of you probably haven't heard of, unless you live in one really specific part of the world. We definitely haven't heard of it before researching this. So while we didn't want to discuss too much about online food delivery services such as Uber or DoorDash, because we all know about that now, it's not really interesting to listen to, and I guess it's kind of normalized. It's not as fascinating. We did find this little bit of online food service history really interesting while we were researching for this episode and wanted to mention it just to tie up the end of the episode, kind of bring us a little bit more into recent history. So in 1994, Pizza Hut launched one of the very first online meal delivery websites ever, which they called PizzaNet, which is kind of cute. Pizza Hut, if any of our listeners don't know, is an American-based restaurant chain that sells pizza. The chain is international, but dine-in service isn't really available in SA since a couple of months ago. I'm pretty sure you can still order it online in South Australia, though, so it still kind of is relevant here. So the website didn't work across all countries that Pizza Hut is in service, or even across the US, but was only available in Santa Cruz, California. That's why you probably haven't heard of it unless you live in that city. Yeah, so even so, this website was one of the very first public sites ever created on the internet, which started on the first day of 1983, if you're wondering, and provided an early model of online food delivery services that have been used by the big corporations that we are now so familiar with, and kind of started as a little jumping off point, which I thought was really interesting. One thing I found really kind of crazy about that was it was one of the first online, like, internet sites or public sites ever created on the internet, which is really crazy when you think it was created in 1994 and the internet started in 1983. And like nowadays there are so many, there's probably like 100,000 websites created every day on the internet or something crazy like that. So it's weird to think it was one of the first ever created on the internet, and the internet had been around for 11 years. It's just so different from now, even though it was so, it's what, 30 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty recent.
It's pretty weird to think as well that one of the first sites on the internet was a food delivery service, when you'd think it should be like a healthcare service.
Yeah, something important.
Yeah, something that can help you.
Yeah.
But I guess food delivery is also pretty important.
Yeah, I guess it kind of shows what people value, especially, mm-hmm. I guess, in America. Like we talked about before, big pizza fans.
Yeah. I know Pizza Hut is very popular in America. I don't really see it. I don't think I've ever been to
I've never been there.
In South Australia.
I didn't even know we had them until a couple months ago when it said it shut down. I didn't even know it was there.
Yeah, I've only seen two and I never see anybody in them.
Yeah. Well, that's probably why it shut down.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Not enough customers.
Yeah, I don't think that PizzaNet lasted very long. I think only maybe a couple of years, probably because it was in such a small area. It's only like one city, state. I don't know what to call it. But yeah, I guess now they've kind of figured out how to deliver all across, like, internationally, and now it's a really big industry. But it's crazy that it kind of, like, online food delivery service started in one little place and kind of petered out a little bit, and now we're here and it's kind of just the norm. Everyone gets like Uber all the time.
Yeah, I guess it was the stem for all the other service, the other food services,
yeah,
to begin their delivery.
Good on them.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to our episode and learning a bit about Mills and Wills SA. We look forward to seeing you next fortnight.
If you have any questions or comments or even ideas for future episodes, please get in contact with us at ella@mealsonwheelssa.org.au. Until next time, have a great few weeks.